This is Virginia Insight. I'm Tom Graham. What does it take to make a leader? Communication skills, certainly. Also, an ability to persuade. Perhaps a way of carrying yourself that transmits both authority and understanding. Some might say, too, not only being a good listener, but actually being so attuned to the world around you that you pick up on subtle signs and respond accordingly. And, of course, a command of language. We may have also just described what it takes to succeed at Shakespeare. For several years now, a Virginia-based program has been winning praise across the country for its use of Shakespeare to teach leadership. So what did they know that the rest of us should? Two of the leaders of Stanton, Virginia's American Shakespeare Company are here to explain right after the news. I'm Tom Graham, and this is Virginia Insight. Do you see a connection between Shakespeare and leadership? If you do, you're welcome to join today's conversation at 888-WMRA-TALK by phone. If you do not see a connection, but you have a question for today's guests, you're also welcome to join in 888-967-2825. Or you can post to us on the Virginia Insight Facebook page. Ralph Allen Cohen is one of the co-founders, as well as the director of mission at the American Shakespeare Center, based in Stanton, Virginia.
Hi.
Sarah Enlow is that center's director of education, and as such, she oversees their Shakespeare Leadership Program. Thank you both for making time for us.
Great
to be back.
Glad to be here.
Well, Ralph, let's turn to you first. What does Shakespeare have to do with leadership?
Well, that's what I ask myself when your guest who's going to be phoning in called me many years ago. How many years, Sarah?
2003.
Some very many years ago then, to ask if we'd be interested in at the American Shakespeare Center and the Blackfriars and working with his leadership program over in Charlottesville. And I know of such programs. He had read a book by Tina Packer. I had watched Richard Olivier do some work in London. I knew of such programs, and I think I sort of poo-pooed them. But Peter called with a very good offer, and I suddenly decided that, you know, well, Shakespeare really is about leadership, and we should work on that. And we started.
So this is Peter Ronayne.
Peter Ronayne.
He'll are going to talk about a little bit. And he is a senior faculty member at the Federal Executive Institute, and one of his jobs is to help people who are in management roles in federal agencies across the country do their job better.
Right.
So Peter called you and said, I read this book. You should have a leadership program in Stanton at your Shakespeare Center.
Right. And I thought, well, maybe so. I can see something there, and then started thinking about it. And if we're right, and I teach Shakespeare, and I think I am right, that you can pretty well find all kinds of human behavior there, that it's sort of a petri dish of who we are, and you can sort of look at almost any issue. What would happen if we looked with real seriousness at the models of leadership that he provides, and the failures of leadership, and the people who don't do well, and the leaders who don't make it work. What would happen? And then I was very aware, and this comes in part from Tina Packer's book, but also from the work we do in Stanton, that the room we work in, the Blackfriars Playhouse, where the lights stay on our audience, means that all of our actors are, in a sense, dealing in the kind of environment that you actually deal in when you're a leader, where you can see the people around you, where you have to take in their response. So our process seemed similar in many ways. And then the tools that our actors work with also seem suddenly very important. What you do with your voice, how you use your body, which are two huge things. So at Peter's request, we started putting together some programming. And I have to tell you that today, it's one of the things I'm proudest of that we do. I think it's been incredibly effective, and I've really enjoyed doing it. It's been fun, and I don't feel at all like we're just selling out. I feel like we've actually found a great way to make Shakespeare a part of people's lives.
I agree with Ralph. When I came into the American Shakespeare Center, I heard about this leadership program and I was skeptical. I thought, really? I mean, come on, Shakespeare. Let's get serious here. But I attended the first one just as an observer, and I found it to be both fun and actually enlightening. And in recent years, we've also started to incorporate some of the things from our Actors Renaissance season to help with team building. A lot of places will take their leaders to ropes courses or that kind of thing. We do something with cue scripts instead, which doesn't sound like it would be team building, maybe, but our actors have found that it is. And that's one of Shakespeare's ways of working, that they didn't buy paper for every actor to have a script, the full script in hand. They just got their lines and a few words that led into their lines. So we passed these out.
So all they got were their cues and their
exactly.
lines.
And so we passed these out to our leaders in the afternoons on our Leadership Saturdays and let them see what they can put together using what they've learned throughout the day. And they put on these little scenes. The first time I did it, I wasn't going to have them share those scenes. I thought, this is just process. We're just going to be working through this and identifying collaboration and leadership styles and those kinds of things that are coming out of the process. And when it came to the end of the day and I said, okay, well, that was great. Everyone, let's go. They said, aren't we going to share them? Can't we perform for each other? So we went right back upstairs from our education center to the stage, and they put on scenes from Hamlet, and they did a great job. And they were all so excited about playing on the Blackfriars stage and about using Shakespeare's words.
But what did they get that helped them become better leaders?
Out of the cue script exercise or out of the whole day?
Either.
Well, what we find is that our leaders are able to identify the structures of speech that Shakespeare used for persuasion by the end of the day. They are able to identify the choices that they need to make about physical communication and vocal communication and make those choices. And then with the cue script exercise, they're actually able to work together in a group, much like in a meeting on a project where not everyone has the same information. Not everyone has complete information, and they have to figure out how to get the information that they need to do their job.
Let me put in for just a moment that one element of this that we've left out is that when we're showing them models, we actually use our actors who will come out and do some of these very famous speeches, some very famous, some less famous, and then ask, you know, how is that affecting you? What just got said that speaks to you? What is what the Greeks talked about was pathos. What is it about in the audience's value system that speech reached? Then we also ask the question, who did this actor present himself as? What's his ethos? What does he represent? And these are two of the basic things from the idea of leadership that's 2,500 years old, which is what does your audience feel, and what are you and who are you? And then the third thing, of course, is what are the words you use? So we have our actors there to show them that. And what that does is it, first of all, simplifies it enormously. They see it in action. And we don't expect them to do the same thing. But we do get them to realize that the things that are being talked about are right there in front of them when they see these scenes. And that I think that makes a huge difference.
Yeah, I think showing them the actors performing Shakespeare as the opening session of the day is probably the best way to overcome any skepticism that they may have brought with them.
From the American Shakespeare Center in Stanton, Virginia, we have with us that center's Director of Education, Sarah Enloe, and the center's Director of Mission, Ralph Allen Cohen. Dr. Cohen is also, by the way, the Gonder Professor of Shakespeare at Mary Baldwin College. This is Virginia Insight. I'm Tom Graham, and joining us now from his office at the Federal Executive Institute in Charlottesville is Peter Ronayne, who serves as a senior faculty member at the Institute. Mr. Ronayne, part of your job involves training managers in federal government agencies across the country to be better at their jobs, right?
Yes, exactly. A leadership development program, executive education to help people across a wide range of federal agencies simply be better at what they're doing, and a lot of what they do involves leadership and management.
Okay, so over the past few years, you've seen to it that at least a couple hundred of your students have gone through this leadership training program at the American Shakespeare Center in Stanton.
Yes.
Simple question, how come? What do these government workers get out of it?
That's a great question, and one that they could answer with a lot of enthusiasm and passion. The how come is First, we're always looking for world-class partners, outside organizations to tap into their skill set and perspectives and create non-traditional and challenging learning environments for our federal executives. And the American Shakespeare Center offered exactly that. And I can remember clearly the day sitting down in the basement with Ralph and kicking this idea around and just getting more and more and more excited as Ralph's passion for the topic and the subject and the potential came clear. And as we hammered out both in that session and then just through practice and trial and error, really the multiple levels that Shakespeare offers any leaders. As Ralph mentioned, first off, there are models of leadership that are demonstrated through Shakespeare's characters. Almost all the lead characters are in the business of trying to persuade someone to do something. And if that isn't a hallmark of leadership and effective leadership, then I don't know what else is.
Peter, you've been through some of these programs yourself, mm-hmm. as well as guiding others from across the country into this. How are you different because you've gone through this training? How are you a different or better leader than you would have been?
For me and for my the participants as well, it's borrowing the actor's craft and recognizing that leadership is a role and leadership is a performance. That doesn't mean it's inauthentic. In fact, quite the opposite. Learning from the wonderful actors that Ralph and Sarah work with, learning about attention to voice, attention to space, attention to your body and how you're using it to create both presence for people and also a sense of, I think, congruence between who you're trying to be, what you're trying to say, and communicating a lot more effectively. And I think I heard Sarah say it as well. It's about connecting with your audience, and the actor's craft is so much about connecting to the audience that I certainly feel if I consciously drawing on these tools that I've had a pleasure of experiencing over multiple sessions at the American Shakespeare Center.
Remarkably, too. I just need to really put this in, that working with Shakespeare with this focus, working with people who are looking at it as a way to understand how to lead, how to persuade, makes you see the text differently. And actually, I direct plays for the company, helps me direct differently. I just did Henry V. We work a lot on Henry V's very famous Crispin Day speech, "We few, we happy few, we band of brothers." The work I've done on that with the thought about how he's persuading people to do something really against the odds has helped me be a better director and helped my actors understand what they're doing better. So there's a wonderful way in which our work with Peter's group and with other people coming to look at leadership has helped us understand the text and the plays better.
And it doesn't actually just limit itself to the leaders of leadership, Ralph and myself. After a few leadership sessions, some of our actors have come up to me and said, "Hey, I didn't even realize that what Cassius is doing in that speech is he's asking questions over and over again, which is empowering his audience to give him an answer." So our actors are also taking things away, and we can invite them to do the leadership seminars, and they love to do it and return to us again and again. And we just all sort of feed off of this thing that Pete created.
Peter Ronayne at the Federal Executive Institute, we're going to lose you in just about a minute when we go to our first break. Before you go, tell us a little bit about what kinds of government managers across the country have taken this program and what they tell you they've gotten out of it.
Sure. It's a remarkable blend of people, and I know that Ralph and Sarah have come to really appreciate that the audience that they're working with are NASA scientists designing the new spacesuits for the Mars mission, Marine leaders who are in charge of purchasing and making sure that deployed Marines get all the ammunition that they need, FAA leaders who work on international airport standards, or NOAA scientists who are leading people on hurricane prediction.
What do they tell you?
And what they tell us is that they're so much more aware of the role that they're playing, of the need to connect emotionally and persuasively with whoever the audience is that's in front of them. And that they have a much stronger sense of their own presence when they are literally or figuratively on stage.
Peter Ronayne from the Federal Executive Institute in Charlottesville, thanks so much for making time for us.
Thanks, my pleasure.
Thanks.
We're going to continue our conversation here about Shakespeare and leadership in just a bit more than 1 minute. You're invited to join in either on Facebook or by phone. Our guests on this edition of Virginia Insight, Ralph Allen Cohen, author of the book Shakespeare and How to Cure It, a handbook for teaching Shakespeare. He is also a co-founder of the American Shakespeare Center in Stanton, Virginia, as well as Sarah Enloe, who is director of education at that Shakespeare Center. You thought I was going to say Shakespeare
Company.
I did.
I had written.
So in large, yeah, actually on this sheet.
He's got the cues. I'm supposed to watch.
I wrote on that note, that sheet, I actually put center instead of Shakespeare Company. But in my defense, I'm not the only one.
No, I know.
As you know, who makes that mistake. But it is a center.
That's right, which is partly why we do this.
Our call-in phone number is 888-WMRA-TALK. 888-967-2825. If you have any questions about what you've heard so far or thoughts about Shakespeare and leadership, you can also reach us on Facebook where we are listed as WMRA's Virginia Insight. This first comment coming in on Facebook comes from Carolyn, who says, Shakespeare has so much to offer regarding leadership and governance. I'm interested in learning which plays they find the most helpful. The histories are the obvious choice, but the tragedies also say a lot about what not to do. Don't murder the king. Don't split your kingdom. Don't place your trust in unworthy advisors. By the way, I love Blackfriars. Well, thanks, Carolyn.
Thank you, Carolyn.
Yeah, thanks, Carolyn. Well, you know, it's interesting. The first thing I did, Carolyn, was I went straight to the place where you would expect a leader the most. That is to say, someone leading an army into a dangerous situation, because you can go there and find, and these are in the history plays, of course, you can find those speeches where they have to persuade their army that it's worth doing, and sometimes they do a good job of it, and sometimes they don't. But then when we started to look at it closer, we began to realize, no, there are a lot of other places. The comedies are full of places where people have to sort things out. A favorite one of ours is Midsummer Night's Dream, because it has a troupe of the rude mechanicals who are going to put on a play, and they have to figure out how to do that and how to get along with one another. We've actually taken leaders and put them around a table and pretended that that meeting in that scene was around a committee table, because if you've ever been in a committee room, you know that it's an exercise in leadership. When do you stay quiet? When do you talk? How do you ask a question instead of make an assertion, and all those sorts of things? And then And actually scenes between lovers and scenes between husbands and wives, things like that, a lot of times is about persuasion. And Sarah, you wanted to, I think, say something in there.
Some of my favorites are the ones that come up when the leaders are not doing a very good job of leading, like in Richard III. He appeals to his audience's values, but he gets the values completely wrong when he says, and we'll go hand in hand to hell. Not a lot of people take that invitation. For some reason, so I like to look at the history plays as well. But I keep finding it wherever I look. You can find persuasion, and of course, if we're talking about rhetoric, then we have to go to Julius Caesar, where we find Mark Antony and Brutus in sort of a speech-off battle, and one of them succeeds, and Shakespeare's painted it pretty clearly for us when we break those speeches down about the reasons behind that success.
Yes, and we all know the famous friends, Romans, countrymen beginning of Antony's speech. And I think I have to admit that when I was in high school, I just didn't get what was the big deal about this speech. But when you start to look at it from the point of view of leadership, the way in which he first of all assures his audience that I'm not here to fight with Brutus. Brutus is an honorable man. And then he starts asking questions about some of the points that Brutus has made. They seem very innocent, but in effect, he's undermining, very slowly undermining the opposition. And then there's this great moment in it where he says, "I'm sorry, I can't go on. My heart is in the coffin there with Caesar, and I just can't talk anymore." And what he's done in essence is to leave the decision making up to his audience, by making them look like, you know, what's more important to him than persuading them is something else. Well, it's an extremely clever speech, because it doesn't look clever at all. It looks heartfelt. And teaching people when to speak and when to step away is also part of leadership.
Phone number, if you want to join the conversation with Ralph Allen Cohen and Sarah Enloe from the American Shakespeare Center, 888 WMRA Talk in Stanton. Sarah, thank you for using that number, calling in. Your question or comment for our guests, please.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hi, Ralph.
Hey.
Hi, Sarah.
Well, I just know that the American Shakespeare Center does a lot of educational programming with school-age children, and I don't know if you've ever thought about, or if maybe you already are doing this kind of leadership programming with school-age children and what you already offer. So I was curious about that.
Do you need a job? That's a really great idea.
Well,
we
actually,
do, of course. We.
This is Sarah number one.
Yes, yes.
Oh, hey, Sarah.
Sarah Ferris. Sarah number one is actually the person that I replaced as Ralph's assistant a few years ago. So she knows a lot about the American Shakespeare Center, and she actually sort of taught me how to do this program. Well, Sarah, thank you for that excellent question. In fact, when we wrote our Julius Caesar study guide, we did use a lot of the principles for the leadership in that. But I am with you. I think that there's so much emphasis right now on, you know, using Shakespeare to teach about not bullying and those kinds of things in the schools that it's a place we could definitely go, and it's a place we should investigate as well.
You have programs currently for high school students, but they are not about leadership.
They're not about leadership. Our college prep programs are really about scholarship and performance. So the students who come to study with us can earn college credit by working with professors and master class teachers for about 3 weeks in the summertime and putting on a 1-hour production of Shakespeare as their culminating project. And we definitely get some leaders out of that, but we haven't emphasized that part of things yet.
Yeah, I think actually, I mean, this, my brain suddenly all buzzing about this, because a program for younger people, which sort of misdirects, is sort of a misdirection thing where they learn their Shakespeare, but that's not why they came. They came to learn how to be leaders. Would be a wonderful idea to make kids composed before they even get out of high school, to teach them the kind of composure and the kind of skills that we try to teach executives.
Sarah, on the phone line, I'm just curious, when you're talking about school children, what age children were you thinking of?
Well, I just think, you know, the middle school to junior high school age specifically, I think you could tailor it to a pretty wide range.
So anywhere from 11 to 18.
Right. And it's just like Sarah was saying, it's a pretty hot topic, bullying, leadership, you know, being a strong individual, taking responsibility for yourself socially and communally. And I just think there's a lot there. And, you know, you have a lot of underserved populations in Virginia who could really benefit from a leadership.
And from the looks on the two of your faces, it sounds like you both think this is a great idea.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
Well, Sarah, thanks for starting something.
No problem. You'll get my bill in the mail.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Sarah.
Joining us now from Chesterfield, Virginia, is Tara McGee, who is an assistant county attorney for Chesterfield County. Ms. McGee, welcome to Virginia Insight.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
Well, Tara, you also serve on the board of an association of government lawyers. I believe it's called the Local Government Attorneys of Virginia.
That's correct.
And I understand that you helped shepherd more than 150 of those government attorneys from around Virginia into a leadership presentation at the American Shakespeare Center some months ago. So what did you all get out of that experience?
Well, Ralph and Sarah were very generous to be willing to take, it was close to, I think, 180 attorneys into Blackfriars, and to use the Shakespearean company and a lot of the information you've heard about already, do scenes from Shakespeare to teach about the art of persuasion. In particular, you know, to teach because we only had a 2-hour time frame, we could learn much, much less than certainly they had to teach us. But we focused principally on the structures of speech that are used in order to persuade any type of audience.
So you point out something that we should underscore, that there are a variety of these programs in terms of length at the American Shakespeare Center in Stanton. The minimum is the 2-hour program that you and your colleagues went to, and they go, Ralph, for as long as 5 days, and it's like two
yes.
days, 4 days, 5 days?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. We have a 4-day program coming up in April. Yeah.
So Tara McGee, assistant county attorney there in Chesterfield, how are you different than you would have been if you had not had this training?
Well, first of all, given my long history, when Ralph taught me in college over 25 years ago, no one encounters Ralph Cohen and leaves the room without being changed.
That was back when he was teaching at James Madison University.
That's correct. Right. That's when Ralph taught me Shakespeare when I was an English major at JMU.
So you didn't need this program. You were already a senator.
And yet, everybody needs that program, because when you're studying and thinking about leadership, when you're engaged in leadership, you need to go back to the well regularly for any length of time that you can make available. I mean, we only had 2 hours for this, but that doesn't mean that you wouldn't go for a two-day program, you know, next week, because you need to go back to that well, reemphasize the principles and the values, learn something new along the way.
I'm curious, Tara, if there's any example that you can give us of something you did or how you acted or reacted in a situation different than you would have if you had not had this training?
Well, shortly after this occurred in April of last year, I think it was,
mm-hmm.
One of the things that Ralph and Sarah emphasized for us was that you need to make sure when you're trying to persuade someone, you show them that you share the values of the person. The speaker shares the values of the audience. And that's often something that directors at a local government like the one I work for forget. They're always sort of talking from their own perspective when they're trying to convince board members, who are in fact locally elected politicians, to do something. And so one of the things that I recall specifically doing was sitting down with a director and saying, okay, I understand why this policy is important to you, but talk to me about how we can sell it to the board. Does it matter to their citizens? Who is it going to help in the community? We need to think about it from their perspective, and you need to stand before them and say, here's why it should, you know, here's the value that will come to you personally by doing what I'm asking. And that really was something, you know, emphasized to me through the program that I went through with Ralph and Sarah.
Tara, I'm going to quote you. Thank you. That is a lovely experience for us to share and to use as we're working with these leaders.
Now, you, Tara McGee, you said like 180 local government attorneys who had come for, I guess it was a convention in Stanton from all around Virginia, and you got them while they were there into this two-hour program at the American Shakespeare Center. It's been almost a year now. Attorneys sometimes have a reputation for not agreeing on much of anything with each other. What have you heard back from these almost 200 lawyers across Virginia about what they got from going through this unusual training?
I'll tell you, what I heard back is I think, even better than what I've just said to Sarah. This was, we had 9 different sessions going on over a 3-day conference in Stanton, and this was just the top-ranked session of all that we went through during that conference. And not only did many people say that it was the highlight of that conference, one of our attorneys commented that session was probably the best thing that we have ever done. And for an organization that gives 2 conferences a year and is celebrating its 36th year of existence, that just goes to show you the type of impact that Sarah and Ralph had on our audience.
I have to say something back to this, too, a little bit, because, again, we play in a space where you can see your audience. That's part of the big deal about the Blackfriars Playhouse, is Shakespeare couldn't turn the lights out on his audience. That means that while Sarah and I were up there presenting and our actors were there, we could feel the energy in the room. And I have to tell you, Tara, what I wanted to do almost more than anything was say, okay, let's divide into 18 groups of 10, and let's work this afternoon, because I was so excited because they gave back such a great energy. And that's part of what we're trying to do. And I don't think it's pushing Shakespeare out of shape at all. That man wrote for a theater in which 3,000 people are going to be surrounding his actors. And those actors had to, by God, figure out how to deal with the feelings around them and to be aware of those and to shape them. So I just want to say we loved it that morning. It was great fun, and I'm so glad they felt so positively about it.
Tara McGee, Assistant County Attorney for Chesterfield County and a board member with the Local Government Attorneys of Virginia. Tara, thanks so much for making time for us and sharing some about your experience with this rather unique leadership program.
It was my pleasure, and it's a pleasure to talk with Ralph and Sarah again. Thank you, Tara.
Bye, Tara.
Still with us from the American Shakespeare Center in Stanton, we have the center's Director of Education, Sarah Enloe, and the center's Director of Mission, Ralph Allen Cohen. Dr. Cohen, by the way, is the Gonder Professor of Shakespeare at Mary Baldwin College, also author of the book Shakespeare and How to Cure It. Tell me some more, if you would, Ralph, about how you see the connections between leadership and acting. I wouldn't be surprised if there is someone listening who is thinking to themselves, well, what they must be saying is if you're going to be a good leader, you have to be a good fake. Because isn't that what actors are? They get on stage and they fake stuff.
And that's not what actors do. What actors do, if they're good, is first of all, they know they have strong feelings about the words they're going to be using already, which every person has strong feelings about the thing they want to happen when they try to persuade others of it. So first of all, they're in touch with what it is their characters care about. But what they also have, and we've already referenced this, and it's so important, they have a real sense of where they are in the room and how they breathe in the room. They're centered. They know how to do that. And it's really wrong to think that because a guy's really good looking and really got a great voice, he's going to be a good actor. You know, he's got those tools. Because really the tool you're looking for is this sense of the sense of space, the sense of place, the sense of who you're listening to, being able to take it in. And every teacher I know of, I think everybody who's ever had to speak in public, knows that they've done a good job when they've taken in the room, when they feel the room, and that thing in your head buzzing, which would be the equivalent in your question, Tom, of you know, speaking the words, those things you think you have to do are secondary to who you are and how you understand the space around you. Once that's solid, you give your best performance. And I think that leaders can do that. You don't have to be trained as an actor. And I think great actors are people who learn this leadership lesson. And that's why really when – and I've read a lot of leadership books, and I've read a lot of books on acting. And there's places where if you took out the noun, you wouldn't know which book you were in because they talk about the same skills and the same abilities with an audience, with listeners. And I think that's – that's what this is about. It's also about, I just have to say this, I got to talk about the man. I mean, Shakespeare really was a great listener. It's a mistake to think of Shakespeare first as a poet. The best way to think of Shakespeare is as a kind of Bill Cosby or a Robin Williams when they go off on a riff, because they listen so well. They know how other people sound, and they do their comedy comes out of really having heard the world and letting it come in. And his plays, his works are so full of having listened well, even to silences, even knowing that if I say this, if somebody said this, this next person wouldn't say a thing back for a little bit. And that's what great leadership is. It's understanding the people around you and as well as yourself. And good actors do it and good leaders do it.
I understand it wasn't also long ago, all that long ago, that you got a call from the British Embassy and that they had some officers in their Royal Navy who wanted to become better leaders, and they decided in order to do that, they would come to Stanton. So I want to ask you about that story when we return in just a bit more than 1 minute. When he was growing up in Montgomery, Alabama, Ralph Allen Cohen thought he wanted to be a nuclear physicist. But after a couple of years of struggle with college science classes, he decided English was more his thing. Eventually, after several degrees, he joined the faculty of what was then called Madison College back in 1973, and he ended up staying at what became James Madison University for 30 years. Some 20 years ago, he formed the American Shakespeare Center, which is today based in Stanton. That is also the city from which he now teaches college classes as the Gonder Professor of Shakespeare at Mary Baldwin College. Sarah Enloe used to teach high school in a small town outside of Austin, Texas, But after winning a Teacher of the Year award, she was given a scholarship to study at a Shakespeare summer program in New England. One of the guest lecturers, we are told, kept going on and on and on about his beautiful theater in Virginia. She came to visit, moved to Stanton for more study, and eventually took on the role as the American Shakespeare Center's Director of Education. Sarah Enloe and Ralph Allen Cohen are guests talking about their unusual program of teaching how people can become better leaders through Shakespeare. What'd you do to the Royal Navy?
That was one of the most remarkable moments. The embassy called, and Sarah, of course, took the booking. And they were bringing their Navy contingent, their naval contingent. These are officers in the Navy who were assigned to D.C. And they were all, anyhow, there were, 12 of them? Something
yeah.
Like there were 12 of them.
Yeah.
So we gather on the stage of the Blackfriars in a half circle, and we do what we always do. We ask people about themselves. And they said things like, well, I'm a submarine commander, and I guess my experience of Shakespeare, well, I've only read half the plays. You know, I mean, yeah. Everything that we thought we had to offer them, they had in spades, but particularly leadership. I have commanded this battalion, or I have commanded this submarine, and then they finished. Oh, and they got up. They would get up to talk to the others, and they would stand in the middle of the stage, completely composed, their feet perfectly apart, their arms relaxed, all the things we try to teach people about using their body. They would speak from their diaphragms. And then it was my turn to talk. And I never felt – I mean, here were these 12 true leaders – and this guy, as you said, wasn't very good in the sciences and ended up teaching Shakespeare. And I'm supposed to tell them about leadership. It really did feel to me as though the shoe was on the exact wrong foot. But we had a wonderful time, and they were great. It was
we had a fantastic day with them, and their feedback was just amazing as well. The Dimple, the person who booked them in, wrote us later just bragging on the entire day. And they loved every minute of it. It was a great afternoon.
I hear that it was fun and they enjoyed it. Can you tell us or make some guesses about how their leadership styles or abilities may have changed as a result of going through the Shakespeare program?
Ralph alluded to a big part of our normal leadership day would be spent with one of our actors who's an excellent voice and movement coach, just making people aware of what they're doing when they're communicating in certain ways. We didn't have to spend any time on that with these gents, but what we did spend time on is the stuff that we keep coming back to, the rhetoric of Shakespeare, the ethos, the pathos, the logos, that making choices about your words, about the way you put them in order, the structure that you give to every communication is a way of affecting your audience. And they took that away and they used that throughout the day.
Okay, my Greek is a little, or Latin, I'm not sure which it was, but
it's Greek.
But
ethos,
ethics, emotion.
Pathos is like sympathy, yeah. You're thinking about the audience when you're thinking about pathos, and certainly logic. With logic can be both data that you would use to convince an audience, but it could also be the words you choose and the order that you put them in, which is something that Shakespeare's pretty famous for.
Ralph, do you
and
have
ethos
any sense
is
of...
not ethos. I'm just going to say the word ethics comes from it, but ethos is more your belief system, your own belief system. Who are you? You cannot be a leader unless you understand that and know how to present it.
So if politicians went through this Shakespeare leadership program at the American Shakespeare Center, do you have any sense of how they might be different in their profession?
Well, you hear it all the time. I mean, we are hearing it in the Republican primaries now. I mean, the question of authenticity is a question of ethos. And so when people are accused of flip-flopping and who are you really and what, you know, and that's really a question of ethos. Now, that's up against what is the value system, you know, what is it you want government to do for you or not do for you. Those are your platform. But your candidate runs largely on his ethos or her ethos. And so that's what that is. And understanding how to calibrate that and how to find that is a very important thing. I want to say one thing about the naval officers, though, and because it's important to me about my leadership. I think that was the day I stopped ever apologizing for our doing leadership, because their feedback to us about what we were saying to them, people who had risked their lives and really had to leave people, was so good and so positive. And so you're right on. Shakespeare got there. Wow, Shakespeare said that. That's how I felt at this battle and that sort of thing. And that really underlined to me that we were on the right track.
I just wanted to use an example from Shakespeare about what ethos is. So in Julius Caesar, Portia is talking to Brutus, and she's, of course, married to him. And she's asking him to share something that's difficult for him to share with her. And she says, upon my knees, I charm you by my once commended beauty, by all your vows of love, and that great vow which did incorporate and make us one, that you unfold to me yourself, your half. Why you are heavy. And so what she's doing there is, you hear it two times. She used to be beautiful. She's probably still beautiful. That's modesty trope. But she's also saying, we took vows together and I am your half, and you have to give this information to me. So she's actually telling him who she is and why he needs to be taking this step that is difficult for him. And that's what ethos is.
Yes. And later she even says, and I am somebody, she says, I am your wife. How could I be any higher than that? I mean, she does a really
Cato's
good job.
Daughter.
And Cato's daughter.
She's giving all of the things that make her the person that needs to hear this.
And for the listener, I think you should notice, we are now talking about a domestic scene. And we're talking about it in terms of leadership. Because it is true that it's persuading people. And the people you persuade in your life aren't necessarily the people in your company. Probably the most important people you persuade in your life are the people you live with. So leadership is not, I mean, we think of it when we think of leaders when we say the word leadership. But what we're really talking about is the art of persuasion, the understanding how to make your case. And that's what leaders have to do.
Ralph Allen Cohen and Sarah Enloe from the Stanton, Virginia-based American Shakespeare Center are our guests, talking about their Shakespeare-based leadership program. 1-888-WMRA-TALK, 1-888-967-2825 is how to reach us by phone. On Facebook, we are listed as WMRA's Virginia Insight. Ralph, talk to me about fear. I mean, you've written a book called Shakes Fear that delves into why so many people are afraid to delve into Shakespeare. But I would also imagine that when you are trying to get people onto a stage to experience this kind of unusual leadership training, at least with some of them, you're running into what is often in survey polls listed as the number one or number two fear in America, and that is how much people fear public speaking. But also, if you're talking about people getting more deeply in touch with their authenticity and revealing that to others in order to be good leaders, I would think you got to be tapping into fear there too.
Absolutely. And this is, again, why I think Shakespeare is a really good place for leadership, because what we learn when we look at his models, what we learn when we see the plays well done, what we learn from his language and his good ear, his own good ear, is that we don't need to be afraid because everyone else has the same fears we do. Everyone else has the same hopes we do. What we learn really is that we have a lot in common with that world around us. And so the fear goes away. And I think I just gave you an example. My fear of being in any way inauthentic about this program went away when I realized that these naval officers felt exactly as we were saying, as Shakespeare was saying, saw that connection. For me, that's the great treasure that we have at the American Shakespeare Center, is an appreciation of that. It does help with the fear.
I'm sitting here actually thinking about the conversation that Ralph and I had on the way up to the studio, which is about our teacher seminar that's coming up this weekend. And Ralph has this, he's a wonderful teacher, as Tara mentioned, and all of his students can attest. He has this real strong feeling that people need to be able to draw from themselves to create enthusiasm in their audience. And he wants to give people that power. And he does. And Shakespeare does, because we can find all of these little things in Shakespeare when we start to look. It's in the looking, I think, that most people are, they don't know what to look for. So if we look for leadership, if we're looking for specific iambic pentameter changes or things like that that give information to an audience or to an actor, then suddenly we have a place of comfort, because we're not putting ourselves out there. We're putting something else out there. We're actually looking at ways in to a puzzle and being able to suss it out. And one of my favorite things about the days that we do with the federal execs is that they come in with a challenge statement that they've written themselves without ever looking at Shakespeare since high school, probably. And we hear it one time. We do the models for them. We tell them at lunch that they need to rewrite it using what they've heard about rhetoric. Then they come back in, they do it again. We coach them on their voice and their physicality. They do it one more time. And the difference between the first public speaking, in which almost all of them are nervous or upset or fearful, and the last time is the difference between day and night. It is brilliant to see how far these individuals, who are people, though they're leading the National Science Foundation, though they are in the White House working with President Obama, they change their approach to how they present an argument and how they deliver an argument.
Who should take a training like this? I mean, whether it's your 2-hour seminar, or your 2-day, 3-day, 5-day, who will benefit?
This is an interesting question. We've recently gotten actually quite a few lawyers. We did the Ends of Court in November.
Organization they're called.
Of course, Tara's group, the local government attorneys. We did a conference for the Virginia finance officers. And then all of these different leaders, I think.
Well, ask your listeners. I mean, is there anyone among us who wouldn't, in fact, like to have some of these skills? I mean, and sort of this understanding. And it's hard for me to think of a group. And when I teach pedagogy, a lot of what I'm trying to do is to make teachers realize that in their classrooms, they are leaders, and the ways in which they can reach their students has a lot to do with this. So for teachers, for lawyers, for businessmen, corporation, for almost anybody,
yeah,
I would think it's useful.
I would too. I agree. I can't think of a group that it wouldn't benefit, including Sarah's brilliant idea that we start reaching out to students with it. I see.
Do you have to be part of a group? Can
we are looking at adding an Entrepreneurs Leadership Saturday event where we would open up a Saturday in our calendar and invite anyone to sign up, sort of free sign up until we have our required number. Because
do you have any idea how much the cost would be?
I haven't really looked at the budget numbers yet, but I would guess in the high hundreds probably, just based on some other...
It would depend on the size of your group.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not something... Well, I mean, we're not going to give individual lessons. We can't...
Right.
We're too thin a staff for that. We're not going to give individual lessons. But I think that depending on your size of your group and the amount of time that you wanted from us, we could certainly design something that would work for you.
Ralph Allen Cohen, before we run out of time, you've been doing this program now, I think, for something close to 7 years.
Yes, right.
Even before Sarah Enloe came to work at the American Shakespeare Center. What I guess I'm most curious about is if there is something you understand about leadership now that you didn't know 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, if this was TV, you would have just seen my eyes roll back. I don't do anything the same that I did before. I mean, there were some things I did. I must have been lucky. I got some things done in my life. But I didn't know what it was I was doing right and what it was I was doing wrong. So it was sort of hit and miss. I now know from having worked with these people. And again, as you've heard me say two, three times now, it's what you get back. I've learned a great deal more about how to stand on a stage or just be in a committee room and feel comfortable about how to get to a certain goal and even recognize when that goal is not maybe achievable, but maybe a compromise is going to be achievable. Those are things I've learned, and I am so grateful to Mr. Peter Rogaine for his having
got you started when he called and said, "Can you do this for
us?" Yeah, he really did.
Our guests have been Sarah Enloe, Director of Education at the American Shakespeare Center in Stanton, Virginia, and Ralph Allen Cohen, who is co-founder of that center, its director of mission, as well as author of the book Shakespeare and How to Cure It. Thank you both for making time for us.
Thank you, Tom. It's been a treat.
Insight's executive producer is Matt Bingay. Our associate producers are Terry Ward and Bob Levicky. Some of our break music supplied by Robert Jospe and Inner Rhythm. You can find audio postings of Virginia Insight by going online to WMRA.org, then clicking on Programs, and then clicking on Virginia Insight. And if you go to that page, you will find links to more information about both of our guests. Thanks so much for tuning in for this edition. I'm Tom Graham. Hope we can get together again soon for more Insight.